Hi, this is Matt Toronto, director of A Dream at the End of Time, and you're listening to the HP Lovecast podcast.
Hello, and welcome to episode 56 of the HP Lovecast podcast. I am Michelle Brittany, editor of James Bond in Popular Culture and the Bram Stoker-nominated Horror in Space. I write on all things pop culture with special emphasis on horror, fantasy, and spy genres.
And I'm Nicholas Stajak. I'm a pop culture scholar of Peplum Films, Industrial Music, Horror Studies, and I'm the editor of The New Peplum from McFarland. Michelle and I also co-edited Horror Literature from Gothic to Postmodern, also from McFarland.
With 2022 coming to an end, we thought we would use this episode to recap the podcast's activities and then chat about some of the plans we have for next year. Afterwards, we'll discuss our respective personal projects over the year and what each of us will be working on in addition to HP Lovecast. Let's get started.
Michelle.
Nicholas. 2022
was a very big year for us. We accomplished a lot, both professionally, personally, a lot of stuff's going on. So let's talk about the big successes this year, because this marks our basically 2.5 years since bringing the podcast back. And I mean, this year we've seen our behind the scenes numbers just, you know, double and just keep it, you know, going up and everything. So I think metrics wise, we are doing really good. And it's, you know, thanks to listeners out there like y'all.
Yeah. I know that we kind of had a goal of numbers as far as comparing with other podcasts, how well we were doing as far as kind of hitting the tipping point, mm-hmm. being successful, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. And I know that I kind of went conservative as far as how long that might take us. And this year has been just explosive with mm-hmm. regards to the people that have tuned in and streamed our episodes. Has been actually really surprising to me,
especially since we had to cut back an episode. So as y'all probably remember from a prior episode, we went from 3 episodes a month to 2 a month just because of timing issues and a lot of stuff going on. But even scaling back 1 episode, our listening ship just kept going up. We wound up publishing, I have here, 20 episodes this year up to this point, plus we have this one and one more this month. So 22 episodes this year. That's basically 2 a month and pretty regularly. So high five.
High five. along with that number, 20, we did what? 21 interviews this year.
Yeah, we interviewed 21 different sets of interviews. Now, we say that because we had a couple interviews that were 2 people plus at the same time, but
that's why I think the number, I mean, if you think
higher.
That, yeah, if you think, oh, wow, they had 24 episodes and 21 of them were interviews. Well, that's not quite true because, like you say, we had multiple interviewees on an episode.
Yeah, and we'd like to think we're helping out a lot of people. I know that our transmissions episodes are a bit more shorter form, but, you know, we're all about, you know, helping, you know, people out in the horror community, especially those with, like, debut works and, you know,
Which we had quite a few of this year. We had, like, Laura Synth was, getting her start. And, I mean, I think we were her first podcast that she was on. I was actually really surprised that we had a few guests that this was their first time.
She was also our first middle grade author as well. So we also branched out. We wound up interviewing a lot of other types of people, authors. So we had, you know, middle grade author, Laura Synth, our traditional, you know, writers of dark fiction and horror. But we also interviewed a director and writer for a play.
By the way, the bumper for this month is Matt Toronto, who was a director.
That's right. Mm-hmm. For our a Dream Against Time. I have it down in front of me, but I can't find it. But but we interview people that put on a Lovecraft play. We interviewed a black ambient band, Northumbra, from the Cryo Chamber label. So, you know, we've really I don't want to say we've like stretched our bubble out to get more folks. They just kind of happen to fall in our lap. But I think this kind of goes to show that, you know, isn't just writers that are doing, you know, Lovecraftian derivative works. It's in all forms of pop culture. And, you know, we're here to talk with y'all, explore your works. And I think, you know, we've done a pretty good job of that.
Yeah, I think that's one of the most surprising things to me is the fact that once we started like really digging into derivative works, the fact of how pervasive the influence of H.P. Lovecraft has been in all mediums.
Mm-hmm. I think though, since we've been, we'll be honest, you know, this podcast, you know, we do it 2 times a month. We invest quite a bit of stuff into it. And I think we kind of made our first big leap from just doing, hey, let's just do a podcast to let's do a podcast by we got a new logo. We actually went out and we commissioned one of our friends. His name's Philip Yont. He's actually part of the Dead Ringers podcast, our friends over there who do Their niche is they compare and contrast two kind of similarly themed horror films. And so check out the Dead Ringers podcast. But Phil's a part of that, and he's a graphic artist, and he did our logo, the Cthulhu looking over the book and everything, and it looks awesome. We got stickers of it made and everything. So, you know, not just orally, audially, or whatever those words are, but visually, you know, we've, you know, taken our podcast in, you know, a higher, you know, step up in production and everything, professionality.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that I was proud to see were the stickers, mm-hmm. and to see a physical manifestation of our podcast, which is auditory only. And we use those stickers. We actually debuted them at CocoCon, and the logo was used as part of the advertising in their program. And we were very pleasantly and humbled by the fact that I think our advertisement was the first advertisement in the program.
That's right, for the CocoCon 2023 program book. Our ad was number one. Yay! Number one
chronologically, you know, appearing in the program. But, you know, it was neat because we also, we sat on or moderated two panels. So, you know, we gave out stickers and we left stickers on the table. You know, all the con stuff that you do. But it was, like, really cool to walk by the table with other, you know, items.
Swag.
Well, there's our stickers. That was so cool.
Well, we've been doing the con circuit for, I don't know, 14 years, maybe?
A long time.
I mean, you know, that's just, you know, comic cons, other pop culture cons, horror cons, whatever. I mean, that's just what you do. You get a swag bag, and you just accumulate postcards and stickers, and if you're Michelle, somehow or another, you wind up with more t-shirts than you could wear. But, you know, it's like, you know, those are, this sounds kind of weird, but, like, those are people's stickers, you know? Those are other people's, you know? They're advertising. Yeah, those are cool. Do you ever use a sticker? You might put it on the back of your laptop, but if you're like me, I can't use this sticker. I gotta keep it pristine, but tables turn when you actually have your own sticker out there.
Yeah, you want to plaster it everywhere.
There's that, but it's surreal though, because you think those are what other folks are doing. Other folks who have comics or books or CDs or whatever, they have their swag out, and you know, now we have swag, and I think that's just kind of a more solidification of we're doing something cool. This is a, you know, does that kind of make sense? It's just solidifying us as a podcast that we've stepped up our game and we have swag, and it's just kind of surreal that we're so used to other folks having swag that, I mean, they're stickers. We have ideas for other swag, folk, but
we do, but at the same time, we're you know, we're anxious to hear from you, our listeners. What kind of swag would you be interested in? You know, people that have seen our stickers are like, hey, can you send me one? And we'll probably do something fun next year with regards to stickers and swag that we put together. Because it won't just be stickers. We'll be doing some other stuff.
If we actually put out t-shirts and we have fans that wear that t-shirt, we will love you forever. But that's that's future plans. But let's talk about some of our accomplishments for 2022. Aside from making stickers and our metrics looking good, we had some. I said 2022. I mean, upcoming for 2023. We've got some cool things that we're planning for 2023. Even though we haven't started 2023. Michelle and I, we keep a whiteboard, we put ideas on it, we reach out to folks reach out to us, and because we also track our metrics, we see what works and doesn't work, and so we use that to kind of fine-tune, so we have some cool ideas that we want to share with y'all that to look forward to in the new year.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we start with the first one, which was something you came across that we're going to explore further in January.
Yeah, I think we're going to do it in January. Mm-hmm. We should actually, before we do the 2023 stuff, this is all predicated on, we have a big life thing going on that's kind of...
Oh, yeah, let's
let's do that real quick.
Yeah, because as we're recording this, we're sitting in an, you know, in an empty room, so the acoustics is probably sounding a bit different. Probably also hearing a few more cats and things like that, so... yeah, our life event.
Yeah, we bought a house. We actually bought it back in November. We've been slowly moving in. We'll be all moved in at the end of this month. But just because you're moved in doesn't mean you're set up. Because once you pack everything, it then needs to be unpacked. But and that's one of the reasons why our, even though we've gotten our episodes out these last couple months, they've been a little like a week later or something like that.
And that's the reason why. It's been a little chaotic. We had storage units, mm-hmm. so we needed to spend a day moving storage units, which includes probably about 3,000 DVDs and Blu-rays and VHS tapes.
We have
a ton of
books
that we haven't had in our possession for...
Like a decade.
Yeah, about a decade. So, you know, we're real excited to basically have a home base with all of our items.
That means we have our library at hand, mm-hmm. our research material, because we have tons of other Lovecraft horror stuff to sit in there that just hasn't been in arm's reach. And now that we'll all have a house as well, that means we'll be able to up our podcast game even more with, you know, investing in, you know, more stationary studio type area equipment, yep. recording and whatnot. So it's a nice little cast. But because we'll still be unpacking and stuff, that might mean 2023 maybe a week or so late in January. But so yeah, that's
just bear with us yeah. and have patience with us as we yeah. kind of, you know, find our feet. This is our first house.
Yeah.
That we're pretty excited about. Yeah.
So, circling back around to one of the first things that we're going to try to cover is we're going to try to do some gaming. Not live over the microphone, obviously, but we have our friend Danny Delisle over at the What's in the Box podcast. She's starting another podcast. I think it's called Covingstead, that is tabletop role-playing game-centric. So check out both of their podcasts, What's in the Box with Joanna and Danny, and Covingstead with Danny, and I actually don't remember who her co-host is. I'm so sorry, because they have a Discord server that I went and joined and was talking to everyone, and they brought up that there's, I've never heard of this before, but for when I think of tabletop gaming, you know, I think of Dungeons and Dragons and Torg and all that stuff, but there is a solo tabletop RPG out there, journaling. Basically, you play a kind of a role-playing game by yourself, like you have some rules like you normally do, but you journal. You basically create as you go. Kind of, I mean, that's D&D, but usually you have players and the Dungeon Master does that. Well, you're all of them rolled into one. And I thought that was kind of a neat concept. Michelle does journaling. She actually makes journals, and she writes in journals. So that also caught my, hey, I wonder if this is something Michelle might like. But we went out there, and we found, from Presspot Games, a journaling RPG called The Portal at Hill House, which is cosmic horror. You come across a house. There's a portal in it that's threatening to suck in reality, and you gotta close it by finding three items. And that's, like, the bare minimum of it. Everything else is randomly generated by using, like, a deck of playing cards, and you draw a card, you cross-reference it in the rulebook to say, like, I'm in a room that is moldy, and there's a monolith, and a dragon, I don't know. But, and then you write it out, you know, in a journal-type format. I entered the room, and I, you know, smelled the air, and it was filled with mildew and mold, and in the corner was a giant monolith. I don't know how that's possible, but reality doesn't work that... Whatever. I mean, it sounded really cool, so Michelle and I are going to give it a shot, and we're going to talk about what we thought of it. I mean, we haven't given a shot yet. We got to finish moving, but yeah. That's will be one of our early 2023 podcasts, is basically evaluating The Portal at Hill House and sharing what was our respective adventures like with it. So that will be, I think, kind of a fun and different thing to do.
And I think we'll put a link in the show notes. So that way you can access this particular game. I think it was a minimal cost. I think it was, what, $5?
$5 for a PDF. Yeah, I mean, cheap.
Support
indie creators, folks.
Yeah, so, I mean, for listeners, if you want, go check that link out and maybe pick it up. You do need a deck of playing cards, so do pick up a deck, or if you happen to have one in your junk drawer, you can pull that out and use that, and then you can follow along with how our adventures turned out. Another, you know, we talk about games, and we both play video games. But Nick, you actually came across a video game called Call of the Sea.
Yeah, so this is, it's across all platforms, I think, Steam, PlayStation. I'm playing on an Xbox, but there's actually quite a few Lovecraftian video games out there, like The Sunken City, I think it was. I started a year or so ago. I need to resume that. But this is, Call of the Sea is kind of like a combination of, like, 1930s pulp, seafaring adventure on a tropical island with Lovecraft and, you know, underwater deities and whatnot, and it's kind of done in a, well, it's not shell-shaded, but it's very vibrant looking. I'd originally come across the game for a potential article for a magazine I write for, Exotica Modern, because it has all the tiki stuff in it. But, you know, it's a very narrative-driven game. It's basically a point-and-click adventure game, although it's not quite like Maniac Mansion and King's Quest. It's more puzzle point-and-click, but for all purposes, it's an interactive story. And so we will, as soon as we get all moved and I can resume that game, we'll probably be doing a write-up about it and talking about another game. The first one was a tabletop role-playing game. Now this will be a video game. So again, that's us kind of branching out into other mediums that have had the Lovecraft influence on them.
Mm-hmm, definitely. As usual, we'll be reaching out to authors with 2023 releases and asking them to be on the show. But again, reaching out to our listeners, if you're a creator and you have something coming out in 2023 that you think would fit within our conversations that we have during our transmissions programming, definitely reach out to us, and we'll see what we can do. Like Nick was saying earlier, we really are about supporting creators. This is a platform for that, and so we're here.
So one of the things that we did new last year, well, this year, early 2022,
yes,
is the Bram Stoker Awards had their shortlist. You think I would know the process by now, but you know, they have the list, then they have the actual real shortlist of nominations or whatever. Look it up.
They have, they kind of have the long list. And the long list is a combination of basically books that writers or creators, they've basically put forth for consideration. And then there's also the jury.
Mm-hmm.
And so in February, it kind of the long form list comes out that's been kind of truncated a little bit with the most popular votes and then also what the jury has picked from the list. So you get a combined long list. And so in February, we picked from that kind of long form list.
We thought, you know what, be honest, this part of it, so you strike while the coal is hot with your iron or whatever the phrase is. You know, the Stoker list came out. What can we do to help support community, get the word out for these releases, and also have some cool content for our show? So earlier in 2022, we looked at folks at the list and asked them to be on the show, and we had a fantastic transmissions episode. That's the one we interviewed
Matthias
on nonfiction writing, Angela Yuriko Smith on poetry, and then our friends Eric and Thomas on movies. I mean, get more.
Eric Cushing and Logan Thomas.
Oh man, I really butchered that, didn't I?
That's okay.
And then the feedback was really good on that episode, and so we'll be doing that again very early 2023 when all the Bram Stoker stuff's coming around. So if folks out there who gets your titles on those various lists and whatnot, we may be reaching out to you to say, hey, do you want to come on the show and help? Talk about your work and see if we can do to help get the word out, because, hey, you know, there's always the final round of voting. You know, people may want to go out there and listen to you interview about it. So we'll be doing that again. It was successful in 2022. We'll be bringing it back for 2023.
Yep. We also did a poll, which was a lot of fun.
It was surprising. Folks like polls. I think people like to be heard and, you know, give their input and stuff, but
so what we're getting at, which we'll talk about a little bit, is that we are going to do more polls in 2023, but you guys surprised us with not only, you know, having an interest in driving what we're going to watch, but then also coming back and listening to what we watched.
So we did a poll, I think it was early summer, on what bad Lovecraftian Z-grade film we wanted to watch. And we had two choices, Cthulhu Mansion and Feed the Light. And one, y'all overwhelmingly voted for Cthulhu Mansion. We watched it. It was bad. And after we got done recording it, like, man, that movie was painful. But it was fun to talk about. We put it up there. It became one of our most successful episodes. So folks out there, one, like polls, two, even though we didn't like it, we thought the atmosphere was okay. Go listen to that episode, folks. Cthulhu Mansion, apparently, and wanted to hear what we had to say about it.
Or thought it was such an eclectic film. It's like, we never have heard anything about this film. We gotta listen to these two talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Another thing to look forward to in 2023 is the HP Lovecast website. We have a skeleton, bare bones website out there that's a list of all of our episodes up to the summer. We'll be putting more effort into it in 2023. Again, it's one of those things that, you know, we mostly advertise our, you know, get our presence through our Buzzsprout hosting, which is where our episodes actually are. But we will get the website up and proper running. And aside from just being a library of links to our episodes, we'll be expanding it to things like short-form essays, quick interviews, things like, hey, look what I just got in the mail, that's kind of cool. So it'll be a lot more entertaining than just who we are and here's what we've done, but more, I don't want to say bloggy, but more supplemental to our podcast and what we're doing.
Yeah, that's correct. Yeah.
And then we'll also be using the venue to hopefully, because we also want to be able to support this podcast, is, you know, put things like affiliate links up, and because there's various places out there that, you know, hey, buy through like Books Inc. or something. So, you know, support the author and support us at the same time. So we'll be experimenting with that as well by using a website.
Yeah. I think that'll be a lot of fun because we have been talking about how we can, you know, do a little more content and work in the different social media platforms. But we really have a lot of opportunity with, I think, the website to mm-hmm. do some things.
And folks, this is just a peek behind the curtain of how Michelle and I operate. You know, we do this podcast entirely out of our pocket. We don't have any advertisers. We're not, you know,
we have to buy our own coffee, folks.
We have to buy our own coffee. You know, we bought, I think 90%+ of all the material we cover is stuff that we bought ourselves, our hosting, our domain names, our website, and so on and so forth. So, you know, we do want to pad that a little bit. I mean, it's not to be sound discouraging, it's not, but we wouldn't mind, you know, buffering a little bit of what's coming out of our pocket while exploring other ways to do stuff. But that means we're not going to be doing advertising. That's not a 2023 thing. There won't be any commercial breaks for NordVPN
or Keeps or
whatever. No, none of that.
No.
Okay. So
nothing wrong with those advertising. You're just not going to hear them here.
Can I tell you about HelloFresh? Use this code, you know, HelloFresh at hplovecast.com for 100% off your 7 months of order.
Cosmic horror themed meals.
So I think we got some cool stuff for 2023 coming out. So, you know, for folks that are new, welcome aboard. For folks that have been around for the ride, you kind of know what we've done. Now you know that we're going to be doing even more of that. So we appreciate you being on our journey. But I think it's time to turn to...
Well, hold on.
Oh.
Before you turn, just to put a call out there, we'd love to hear what you would like to see and hear for 2023. What would you like to see more of? You know, we can go by our stats and our data and, you know, we're able to see what works and what doesn't seem to kind of resonate. But we'd really like to hear from you folks and hear more of what you want to hear us talk about and what you'd like to see on the website and things like that.
We are approachable folks. You can reach out to us and say, hey, have you guys thought about
doing this? We are not celebrities, guys.
We're not celebrities. Okay, so we spend a good chunk of our podcast talking with other people and promoting their stuff. We don't get enough chances to promote us. Because, folks, believe it or not, Michelle and I, we do some rad stuff. And so we do want to kind of highlight some of the things that we and I have done this past year for folks to kind of check out and support and so on and so forth. So you want to go first? Ladies first?
Sure, I'll go first. I think probably one of the things that I was really excited that I got to do this year is an opportunity came up right at the beginning of the year to write about Mary Shelley's Frankenstein and looking at it from any sort of medium and her influential story. And because of my interest in comics and because I actually got to meet the person, I wrote an essay about Bernie Wrightson's collection of illustrations that he did to accompany Mary Shelley's Frankenstein novel. It was originally published in 1983 by Marvel, and it was really exciting to go in, research, and then write about Bernie Wrightson. I got to meet him some years ago, not completely realizing just how legendary and phenomenal he was. I wish I knew then what I know now about him. But I did get to write an essay for the collection. Now, it was originally supposed to be out this year, and instead it's been delayed because it was picked up by a publisher, and so it's actually going to publish next autumn. But because of that Bernie Wrightson essay, I got to present it at the Anne Radcliffe academic conference, as well as getting to share a excerpt of it on Galactic Terrors in October? I think it was the October episode, and that's available on YouTube, and I imagine we'll put a pin down in the show notes. Mm-hmm. So that's one of my exciting things that I did this year. How about you?
Let's see. Yeah, a lot of stuff. Working backwards, I'd say probably the biggest thing that's more recent was the Twilight Zone book came out. It's edited by Kevin Wetmore and Ron Rickey, I think is his name.
I think that's it.
Yeah. But it's called The Many Lives of the Twilight Zone. Oh, man. I'm butchering the title of the book. I just don't have it in front of me, folks. But it's a book. It's a edited collection, kind of like what Michelle and I do. Kevin Wetmore has done many of these. We've been part of his books. He's been part of our books. Kevin is awesome. But he put together a Twilight Zone book, co-edited one, and I contributed an essay to it on this really bad 1970s film called Encounter with the Unknown. This is me. You know, I always have to go off the beaten path, look at the weird stuff, instead of writing about Rod Serling and Twilight Zone like a normal academic. I had to find this esoteric, terrible anthology horror occult film that he's one of two narrators. You know a movie's good when you have two different narrators. But I had a lot of fun writing this essay. I did it right at the start of the pandemic, basically, is when I cranked it out. And it's now finally published by McFarlane. It came out this fall. Yeah, we love McFarlane. They're yes, our publisher.
Go check them out.
Go check them out. All of Michelle's and my books are put out by them. But yes, so I had a new essay published in a Twilight Zone book this autumn. I'm very proud of it. I got to also present on it, not this year, but last year. It was really fun to present on it at ANRADCon because I used audio clips of all of Serling's narrations because, you know, he's got that voice. And so I like to think I'm probably the only person out there that has written this in-depth about Encounter of the Unknown.
Yeah, that folks, go check out this movie. It's really something. Yeah, can we say padding?
Yeah, the movie where the last 15 minutes recaps the first, you know, hour of the film and then bookends it with another narrative. Oh, man. Whew.
One of the other things that I did earlier this year, I wrote some reviews for Fanbase Press. They are an online pop culture website. They also publish, they're an independent publisher. They're based in LA. One of the reviews that I did kind of like got me going on another manga. I love manga. And it was, just like Nick, I'm forgetting the name. And of course, stuff is
Gamer and Cat?
Gamer and Cat, that's it. Just a really cute manga, nicely illustrated, but does a nice job with kind of subverting some of the usual tropes with regards to gaming. And also, maybe they haven't subverted the tropes about cats. Cats are still very needy, and they want all your attention, and they're just so darn cute. But anyway, that was probably one of my favorite reviews that I wrote this year.
My other publishing news is earlier this year, I was reached out to do an essay for Weird Tales magazine that was recently resurrected by Jonathan Mayberry to do an essay on cosmic horror in the early, you know, first incarnation of Weird Tales. And that was written basically while Michelle was writing her Bernie Wrightson essay. I was knee-deep in writing this Weird Tales essay.
Yeah, yours was due in January. Mine was due in February.
Oh, yep. Man. The beginning of 2022 crazy. Was crazy. Michelle had, you know, stepped in and helped me with my research and everything. It was hectic. But I don't know how, you know, when the essay is actually being published. I turned in the proofs of it, I think, last month. So it looks like it's probably a 2023 release. But yeah, I was able to write a pretty in-depth essay talking about, you know, the roots of cosmic horror, not just from Lovecraft, but some of the other cosmic horror authors Weird Tales had back in the 1920s and 30s. And it was quite the deep dive. We also got lots of fodder for use on future episodes of H.P. Lovecast.
Did we ever.
So when that properly comes out, I'll give a notice on that. But something to look forward to in 2023 that was accomplished in 2022.
Another thing for me, I did, I'm going to say, semi-occasional website blogs. on my website, I'm not a real social media type person. I'm pretty introverted. Nick does the whole extroverted type thing and is very, very good about writing a lot of stuff. Me, not so much. I'm usually doing a lot of other things. I have a lot of interest, and so I did do some It's a Wrap related to mummies and things like that. But I'll talk a little bit. I'll return to that in a bit. But I did do a little bit on my website and hoping to do more. But it's a teaser. I'll tell you more later.
I tried to get in the habit of doing updates once a week. That didn't work. Every 2 weeks. Kind of at my website, but I did get a lot of articles out at my website. Interviews, reviews, cocktail stuff. It's kind of my, you know, personal outlet for, you know, fun things. I would say other, not aside from my website, other publications is I have a Kaltiki essay that's supposed to be published this month. There is a zine that just started this autumn called Footage Fiends, and they are focused on the found footage genre of films. And I'm not exactly an expert on found footage, but I know a little bit of it, and I'm always jumping at the bit to write something new or weird. And I had on the back burner to do a essay about the Italian cosmic horror film Kaltiki, The Immortal Terror by Mario Bava. I'm supposed to be doing an article on that for Exotica Modern. Maybe they'll come in 2023, we'll see. But there is like a 2-minute segment in that film, made in 1959, way before Cannibal Holocaust, way before Blair Witch Project, but there is a found footage sequence in that film. And so I did a pretty, you know, a short form essay about it, and it was accepted, and it will be published by Footage Fiends. It says December 2022, and I'm thinking it might be early January 2023, we'll see, but happy to get another article out there on, you know, Italian film studies, cosmic horror, and other fun things.
As I mentioned earlier, I was on Galactic Terrors. Galactic Terrors is co-hosted by James Chambers and Carol Geisander, and I would say Galactic Terrors came out of, or as a byproduct of the pandemic, because it's they're part of the New York chapter of HWA, this was a way to continue to meet, but virtually. Like, we all started in on some various creative projects as a result of that. What was nice is that Nicholas and I was in October, you were in November, mm-hmm. and we were the first nonfiction guests that they've had on Galactic Terrors. For my appearance, I had the honor of appearing with Michael Arnson and Stephen Van Patten. It was really nice to share the virtual stage with two very well-known writers and to be part of that group. I'm very appreciative of James and Carol giving us that opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I got to appear the month after. I was very excited. We've been long supporters of that show. We always tune in every month, and I'm always in the chats trying to write weird questions that causes everyone to roll their eyes and say, Nick's at it again. But I did a reading from an older essay. It was actually my meteorite horror essay from Michelle's Horror in Space book. Just because I didn't know any other things were going to be out at the time. But it was good to revisit that essay because, you know, sometimes you write something and you kind of forget about it for a couple years and you go revisit it and you're like, you know what? I did a pretty good job. But that episode, I appeared with Kenneth Kane and Karen Hiller, and it was a lot of fun. But Galactic Terrace wasn't the only place that we appeared on. We, early in 2022, our friends at, well, they weren't friends at the time, we're friends now, we just met them, the Fan to Fan podcast initially reached out to me to talk about sword and sorcery flicks and peplum movies, and it just kind of got bigger, and Michelle got invited, and we've now appeared on their podcast quite a handful of times this year. And so
what topics have you talked about with them?
So yeah, 80s sword and sorcery films, classic peplum, I'm drawing a blank because there's been so much that we've talked about. We've done some, like, you know, year in 2022 recaps. I've talked about Saturday morning cartoons, talked about In the Mouth of Madness, which is I consider a companion episode to our episode of talking about
Prince of Darkness. I think that would be really great, listeners, if you're very interested. Really, that'd be a great bookend, listen to In the Mouth of Madness and then our podcast.
They were both podcast episodes, were recorded like within a week of each other.
That's
both
right.
Movies were watched within a week of each other, so it was quite, because they're movies that go together. They're part of Carpenter's Apocalypse trilogy, so we watched two of the three. And then you were on Fan to Fan as well, talking about a lot of stuff.
Yeah, I was. So one of the things that I started earlier this year was a call for proposals for Highlander. And so they were very interested in having me come on and talk about Highlander. So it started with that, and then it expanded to being back to talk about James Bond, because I have an edited collection of James Bond influenced movies, TVs, and so forth. So I was on for that. But then later, more recently, I was on talking with them, Phantasm,
mm-hmm.
Because that's a movie that I've always enjoyed. And so it was great to revisit it after a number of years. As well as Let the Right One In.
Oh, yeah.
The original foreign film was a great to revisit that one as well. And I started rereading the novel. So it was really fascinating to read the novel and then watch the film and really compare and contrast what was happening in the book and then what was portrayed in the movie. And it's a bit different. It gives you a bit of a different reading so that when you watch the film, you definitely get a different sense. It was really fascinating to listen to Bernie and Pete, I think. I don't know if Josh was on that one, but because they hadn't read the book, their take of the movie was a bit different. So I think that was actually a really fascinating discussion. As well as, like you were saying, we did some top five lists that have been coming out on the Fan to Fan, and we've got some good stuff cooking for 2023 with those folks.
Sincere appreciation to Bernie and Pete for inviting us on the show, giving us a venue, having us come back. They are two really cool dudes, and we're sincerely appreciative of them.
As well as their kind of third fellow, Josh Pruitt.
Yep.
Who is also a regular, and we've all become friends, and we often appear together on the various podcasts. So please have a look at Fan to Fan. They're a great bunch of folks.
Now, one of the things you brought up is you had a call for papers for Highlander.
Mm-hmm.
I have a call for papers that I just opened maybe a month or so ago. It's been on the idea board for a long time. I've always wanted to do it. It took until the summer when Cult Epics published a book on Sylvia Christel that was kind of the kick in the pants to say, Nick, you gotta do this. So I have a call for papers out there for the French Emmanuel films, the Italian Black Emmanuel films, and all the knockoffs in between, be it from England, America, or where have you. There isn't any, like, dedicated books out there on the Emmanuel phenomenon, Emmanuel canon, what have you. And I want to be kind of the person to, well, me and, you know, a compadre of cool essayists all getting together in a collected volume to be the definitive text on the Emmanuel canon. So, folks, I have the CFP. It's listed at all the usual places, HNET, UPenn, and, of course, at my website. So if you like sexploitation, exploitation, Laura Gemser films, Sylvia Christel, or schlocky stuff from the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and you've caught a lot of stuff on Cinemax, send an email my way. I would love to hear your proposal, and that closes in April. So plenty of time, but we all know, you know, you like to sit on things until, I know I do, on the last week. So feel free to send in your abstracts early as well.
And my Highlander CFP is also in the usual places, HNET, UPenn, as well as my website. Mm-hmm. I have a rolling deadline because I have found that you either really love Highlander and you can't wait to discuss the music from the original film, or you have absolutely no interest at all about talking about it, or you're not even familiar. So my collection might be out there for a while before it actually takes real shape. So that's something into my 2023.
So folks, come on! If you like Christopher Lambert or Adrian Paul, get that stuff to Michelle. There's a huge franchise of Highlander stuff, movies, television show, comic. Even a couple really bad video games out there. Michelle wants it all. She is an intertextual person. There is no other definitive source of Highlander as a canon. I mean, there's a, you know, TV episode guide out there too, but actual scholarly work on it. That's what Michelle and I do, folks. We try to fill the scholarly gap on esoteric topics.
Yeah, and as Nick says, there are books out there of Highlander, because I know you're going to say, well, you know, so-and-so did this and that. That is true, but for the most part, it's the first film, maybe the second, if that. And they're usually kind of relegated to reviews or, you know, magazine articles and things like that. But there hasn't been a definitive collection really kind of deep diving into the franchise. And really now looking at representation and things like that. I mean, I joke, you know, that people like to talk about music, but it is true. You know, Queen, I love Queen, but there's a lot more to Highlander besides the music, although it's very great.
So. Well, speaking of things that get laser focused, what's another movie aside from Highlander that should get a edited collection of essays?
I don't know. You tell me.
Gladiator!
Oh, well, yes, okay.
So, Gladiator, as folks know, I'm a big sword and sandal guy. I have had in the works, well, I finished it, an essay on the movie Gladiator and industrial bands that sample dialogue from Gladiator. That was completed like a month before my Twilight Zone essay was completed, so way back in late 2019, early 2020, or no, even earlier than that. Doesn't matter. It's finally seeing. It was a while ago. It's finally seeing the light of day. The book is called A Hero Will Endure. It's a collection of celebrating the 20th anniversary of Gladiator, even though the 20th anniversary was 2 years ago. But very excited for it. This year, I got to complete the proofs for it. I turned in my bio, all the last minute stuff on it. The publisher, Vernon Press, has a published date of February. So it's finally coming out, folks. I haven't seen the cover art yet for it, though, so there is a, you know, an image that says image forthcoming or whatever. But, you know, put the finishing touches on all the red tape, contract signed, all that stuff this year. Excited to have that book finally come out. Combines my love of crazy industrial music and the sword and sandal genre. And since writing an essay, I've kind of dived into that topic with other bands and other films and TV shows, so expect more work of me along those lines in the coming years, I hope.
Yeah, and speaking of to the point of Peplum, we also do another podcast sometimes, YouTube episode, and that is the Scholars from the Edge of Time, as well as the Swords and Cinema episodes that we have occasionally, and that's through Hercules Inventus and Blog Talk Radio,
mm-hmm.
I believe. So
Hercules has had us on his show since, I think, 2016. He's been a big supporter of us,
yeah.
Letting Michelle and I talk about mummies, sword and sandal films, comics, video games, you name it. He's a cool guy. We have all the episodes that we appear on listed at my website. So, folks, if you want to spend a day just hearing Michelle and I talk, either HP Lovecast, Fan to Fan, Sword and Sandal Cinema, you name it. I got it all listed at my website, so do check that out. But yeah, we've done a lot with Hercules, and he's a cool dude.
Yeah, we can't do a year end without speaking of Hercules. He's a great person, and he's a very giving individual. He's really given us a platform to talk about our other interests that are outside of HP Lovecast, and we're very appreciative. Another opportunity that came our way, again, through kind of various associations that we have to thank, Hal Estal and Dee, who run CocoCon.
Mm-hmm.
We did an ad last year, and this year we did an ad, but we were also asked if we would like to be part of their panels. And so we did a pre-code films panel.
Wait, to back up real quick, CocoCon is a
local
Phoenix, Tempe, Mesa, you know, area fan con, you know, fantasy, sci-fi, steampunk, and all that stuff. And I think this is its third year because it got hit by the pandemic. They did it digitally last year. Or virtual, I think that's the word. So this is their first time doing it in person for a couple years. And so it's also happened to be Michelle's and I first time being at a con since pre-pandemic. So I don't want to say first, because it's all stuff we've done before, but, you know, stuff we haven't done in a while because of the pandemic. So that's what CocoCon is. It's a local fan convention ran by Dee, Hal, and some other folks.
Right. But Dee and Hal are kind of our main points of contact, and so we did the pre-code films discussion with Hal, and then I think at the end of the weekend we also did a swords and sorcery, swords and sandals, swords and blank, put it in there, and we talked about it, and that was a cool panel because Nick, you were one of the panelists as well as the artist Gillian,
mm-hmm.
And so that was quite an interesting conversation. Gillian brought a lot of interesting and insightful comments with regards to peplum because of the fact that I had run this panel before at different cons, but I never had
an artist, a fine art artist
before, mm-hmm. Discuss his approach and kind of, you know, navigating some of the, you know, pitfalls of the genre, let's say,
mm-hmm.
of, you know, representations and things like that. And so it was very insightful. It was a good conversation.
And well, I do want to remind the day before the pre-code panel, that was you, me, and Hal. Hal was moderating and also guest paneling. Folks, Michelle and I, we've seen our fair share of pre-code stuff. Michelle, her first love is silent cinema from, you know, the teens and 20s, you know, City Symphonies and stuff. But even after that, you know, the Universal horror films and stuff. But, you know, we got invited to talk about pre-code horror. So we spent the entire month of August just cramming as much pre-code horror films into our watching. And I think that was one of the months we only had one episode. That's why, folks, we were preparing for CocoCon by watching all these pre-code horror films.
Scholars from the Edge of Time, I think we actually talked about King Kong.
Yes, we talked about King Kong.
So if you're at all interested in hearing our conversation about the original King Kong, mm-hmm. film from 1932, definitely have a listen.
Yeah, some of the films we'd seen, but there were some films we had never seen or heard of that we watched, and oh boy. There's a movie out there called Congo that came out 32, 3, 4, whatever, right at the tail end of pre-code. Oh boy, you thought the movie Old Boy was long game and creepy and cringy. Congo is old boy, you know, a whole century earlier. I don't know if I recommend it or not, because it has to be seen to believe. But that's the kind of excitement that Michelle and I live when we dive into our writing, our conferences, our podcasts, or whatever. We stumble across some cool stuff and some weird stuff, but we do give it our best.
And folks, now that we're going to have our whole library all at our disposal again after a decade, watch out.
I'm actually kind of excited to unearth some of these. I'm the guilty party here of, hey,
most of the time,
hey, yeah, this movie looks bad, we should get it. Nick, you know that movie is going to be bad. Yeah, but the DVD art's cool and it's got boobs and tentacles and blood. Want to do a podcast on that? Yeah, sure. And it will probably be our best episode ever.
It'll be a Cthulhu Mansion all over again.
So that's about all the stuff I accomplished in 2022. Anything left for you?
No, I think that was about it for me.
So aside from our 2023 upcoming in podcast stuff, you know, Michelle and I, we've got some projects that are looking to be realized next year. Like, I've got my Emmanuel CFP. We are both writing essays for Simon Bacon. He's got a cat book. Mm-hmm. And Cats in Cinema that we're going to be both contributing essays to. So that's actually due very soon. So as soon as we get unpacked, March, it will be hit the ground running to get that essay turned in. So be on the lookout for, I'm writing about, of course, surprise, Peplum Cats.
And surprise, surprise, I'm writing about The White Cat in the 1999 The Mummy, mm-hmm, with Brendan Fraser. And of course, that lovely fluffy white cat. So that'll be what my essay is going to be about.
But you know, for always the biggest news, one of my celebrity gossip here, the news that Michelle and I are involved in, you know, always, you know, check out my website. I keep a good tab of everything there. Check out Michelle's website, or have a listen to our podcast. We keep everyone in the loop of what we're doing. So aside from what 2023 has in store for HP Lovecast, has a lot of stuff in store for us as well.
Welcome back. We would like to thank Matt Toronto for providing this episode's opening bumper. We had the pleasure of interviewing Matt for our Transmissions episode that released this past May. Director, producer, and writer, Matt directed A Dream at the End of Time, a musical adaptation of H.P. Lovecraft's story, The Quest of Iranon. Matt has two films in post-production, House of Lies and She Wants My Baby. We wish Matt much success in the coming year.
And for our Transmissions episode this month, we'll be interviewing Edgar Award finalist Jason Rukalik, author of the supernatural thriller Hidden Pictures, published this year by Flatiron Books. So grab your copy from your favorite bookseller and have a listen to the episode.
We're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Our website is hplovecast.com, and of course you can also email us at hplovecast@gmail.com. If you enjoyed this podcast, please subscribe and feel free to explore our archives. Consider supporting us by purchasing our books. We each have Amazon author pages with links to all the books we have either edited or contributed to with individual essay chapters. Or, if you feel like donating a dollar or two, we do have a coffee account, and we love coffee. A link is provided in the show notes. Thank you for listening.